on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our live feed update for October 27th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here today to talk to you about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds and talk about Nicole Franzl's game across the entire season of Big Brother 22. Here we are. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about it. Nicole Franzl could be our first two-time winner in the history of the show. So what has she done to do? What has she done to do? What has she done to get here? What has she done to accomplish that kind of goal? We're going to talk about it all. We're going to talk about the season as a whole. But first, we're going to talk about day 83 in the Big Brother 22 house. It was not too much here. Not too much, of course. It's the final three. So it's the, you know, day 83 of 85 days. Cody and Nicole talked a little bit. Cody's a little bit stressed about, like, the last time you went into the final two, the jury questions really, blindsided him. They were so aggressive. So he's worried about that happening again. And Nicole is going to talk to the cameras, practicing her final two speech. And this is great because we're going to be talking about this whole game, right? So she's practicing her speech. She says she spent the most amount of days in the house, and that's not by accident. And she tells us, you know, I haven't told, that's going to be big because I haven't told anybody that in the house apart from Cody, and I'll be sitting next to Cody. Further confirmation, she's planning on taking Cody. She says she knows she had a target on her back. She knew she needed to build a weak persona. She wanted to build a weak persona. She did not want to win HOHs. And when she decided to start winning HOHs was after she lost some good allies. And then at that point, she was getting first or second in the competitions when competing against people like Tyler and Memphis and all of them, right? Difficult people to beat. She says she took out the head of the snake, Memphis, the creator of the committee. He was in two final twos that she wasn't even in. John, you know what? No, I don't want to throw Cody under the bus. So I won't say that part, just the committee part. She says when she got to the final three, she won part one. And then she won part three. And she took Cody with her to the final two because she's not scared to sit next to him in the final two. She wants to prove that the game is not all about competitions. That just because he won more competitions does not mean he has played a better game than me. And she knows that there's an unconscious bias against voting for a previous winner because they won already, but I am up to the challenge. I came here for a challenge. All through the season, people were trying to get me to backdoor Cody, my best ally, and I persevered through that adversity. I did not backdoor my best ally, Cody. I'm not going to crap on Cody's game at all. He's played an amazing game. Not going to say any bad things about him. So, really, I mean, at this point, if you had any doubt that Nicole Franzl was planning to go after or planning to take Cody to the final two, there you go. That's where we're at. Nicole Franzl plans on taking Cody to the final two. Enzo also talks to the cameras. He says, third place, yo. Third place again, yo. I just want to get out of here, yo. Maybe Cody will take me. It's not looking great for Enzo. We'll talk more about Enzo tomorrow, but he's really just giving up. Just giving up. He's got some things he can use. Right? We'll see. We'll see. They did not already do part three of the HOH, but Nicole is planning on winning part three of the HOH and taking Cody. So that's what happened yesterday. Just more confirmation that Nicole plans on taking Cody. I don't know that Cody is still like, I still don't know who Cody's planning on taking. He's not rehearsing his final two speech, talking about who he's going to be sitting next to. He has given me not much indication, apart from the diary rooms where he says it's not going to be based on loyalty, which leads me to believe it really could be anyone. I mean, if Cody, I mean, Nicole is 100% that she's in the final. She's practicing her final two speech multiple times because she knows she's going to be sitting there next to Cody. If Cody cuts her, she will be so shocked. She will be beyond like, oh my God. We'll see. So that was yesterday. Now let's talk about Nicole's game. It's an interesting one. And I'm definitely curious to see what you guys think of it here. I went over Cody's game yesterday. I highly recommend listening to that one, especially if you're here. I'd recommend listening to the Cody one first. He was involved in the most amount of gameplay over the season, so his recap, even more so than Nicole or Enzo's, is really going to encapsulate the entirety of the season. And this Nicole recap is going to, you know, give you the highlights of what was happening and help you understand why Nicole was doing what she was doing. But it's going to be a little more specialized in the area of where Nicole was, where Cody was pretty much everywhere. So I'd recommend listening to the Cody one first, unless you don't care to listen to all three of them and you just want to hear about Nicole. You will hear Nicole's full game here. So let's get into it. Nicole, a former winner. She won season 18. She played on season 16 with Cody. He betrayed her twice. She then went back on the show in season 18, played with Cody's brother, who was very loyal to her, and she was able to use him to get further in the game. In season 18, her strategy was to buddy up to the group of guys, and now, that is not all that she did. She was doing a lot in the early portion of the season, but basically, in season 18, she was doing a lot in the first half of the season, and then she got caught. Her game kind of crumbled, and she fell back into the arms of this guy's group, you know, Corey and Pauly, and she kind of just assisted them for a little while. Then they fell apart. And then she had to pick herself up in the final part of the game. She was able to maneuver herself in a position where her and Corey were the winning pair of the three pairs in the final six. However, Corey took a hit at the final four, which is not what she wanted, but actually was the best thing that could have happened to her. And she ultimately gets to the end with Paul, where she wins the game 5-4. Now, again, notably here for Nicole, she was not planning to cut Corey, and she likely would have lost to Corey in the final two. So it was very lucky for her that Corey got evicted at the final four. If Corey or Nicole had won the final four veto, then Corey would have made it to the final three, and he likely would have been in the final two. He's probably the winner of the game at that point. Something that's important to note, considering the position we're in right now. So, Big Brother 22, Nicole comes in. Very important to note, Nicole, more so than Cody, I think, has the most amount of pre-game relationships. Importantly, Danny is the biggest one by far. She's friends with Danny. She's known Danny for years. They came in. They never even had a conversation about working together in the game because it was already just clearly assumed that they were ride or dies. You know, she has that conversation with Cody that we'll talk about where she's like, hey, are we going to work together? Are we good? She doesn't even need that with Danny because they're such good friends. She's also cool with Ian. She has a decent relationship with Ian. She's got a somewhat of a relationship with Dave Vaughn because of their time playing together on 18. She obviously has a bit of a relationship with Cody based on their time playing in 16 and then playing with his brother in 18. And their moms know each other. Then she has some bad relationships. She doesn't have a great relationship with Nicole Anthony, because she's not a fan of her podcasting host, co-host. She does not have a good relationship with Janelle because of The Amazing Race, where she got into it with Rachel, and Janelle told the story that Janelle has a problem with Nicole because she felt like Nicole did Rachel dirty. There's also like a little bit of a weird thing that went on between Danny and Janelle, where Danny actually fanned the flames of the Nicole Janelle feud by telling Janelle that Nicole didn't like her and vice versa. This happened prior to the game. For all we know, it's prior to even the season being a thing. But that was there as well. So a lot of pre-game connections, relationships are going to be impacting Nicole's early portion of the season. But she comes into the house, and right out of the gate, Cody wins the HOH, which is really good for Nicole because Cody's got plenty to deal with, and she's going to be able to get in tight with him. It's going to keep her safe. It's going to give her some buffer period, and she is going to immediately get to work. Nicole is not somebody that sat idly by, especially in the first portion of the season. In the first week, she's going to go and pull in Ian immediately, right away. Hey, as winners, we need to work together. You saw what happened to Dan Gieseling when he made it to the end and you beat him. Let's be real. He deserved to win, but he didn't because he was already a winner. You know what that means? That we are going to have to be sitting up next to each other in the final two if we want any chance of winning. He agrees. And Ian suggests to Nicole, hey, why don't we work with Nicole Anthony and Kevin? I like the both of them. She says, no. Nicole Anthony, no good. Let's not work with her. Kevin, maybe. The bottom line here is that in this relationship, in the Nicole-Ian relationship, Nicole definitely was the person in charge. She was in charge of who they worked with, who they had relationships with, and Ian was a very valuable player for her to have in her pocket for a long time in the game. Nicole and Danny connect very early, and very early they talk about wanting to target Janelle. This is night one. They're talking about how everyone is fangirling over Janelle and Kacer, that's no good. And they also talk night one. They say Bailey is working with Janelle. This is something to be concerned about. Danny is going to talk about this later in the season. Somehow, some way, in the pregame, it became very, everybody knew that there was a Bailey-Janelle pregame alliance. It got out, and Danny is going to be spreading it. I would imagine that it got out because Danny and Janelle also had a pregame alliance, and Janelle probably told Danny, hey, I've got a connect with Bailey, so we're cool with her. But unfortunately for Janelle, Danny is going to come into the game and immediately betray Janelle and target Janelle. And so all of her secrets are going to be exposed. So Nicole and Danny talk about targeting Janelle. Then Nicole on day two is going to approach Cody and say, hey, are we doing this? Are we going to work together? Can we do this? And Cody says 100%. Definitely. We're down. Let's do it. So they talk about what they want to do. They both want to work with Dave Vaughn. Nicole really wants to work with Dave Vaughn because she wants to make up for what happened in season 18. She feels like there's a connection there. She doesn't want that to be a problem for her. She's already got Janelle as a problem. Cody does not trust Danny. This is obviously not great for Nicole. I don't know if she was expecting this, but Nicole is really going to go to bat hard for Danny in this conversation. Very important for Danny's game and for Nicole's game. She says that you don't need to worry about Danny. I have got her. I will be close to her. You don't need to worry about Danny. He says, all right, but you really got to watch out for her because she's really smart. She's really sketchy. I don't trust her at all. I've seen her play this game. I don't like it. They talk about Christmas. They talk about Nicole Anthony, and they talk about Kevin. Nicole also vouches for Ian. Cody actually mentions Ian as a potential nominee or replacement nominee. And Nicole also is going to vouch for Ian and says, no, I've got Ian as well. I do. So don't worry. You don't need to target Ian. Cody says that he wants to target Kacer. Kacer is basically the person he wants to target, but he could put up Keisha, Ian, or Danny, maybe up next to her, something like somebody like Keisha or Ian. And Nicole says, no, definitely not Ian. And not Keisha either. Like, no, Keisha's cool. Don't put up Keisha. Put up Janelle. If you're going to put up Kacer, you need to put up Janelle next to Kacer. They're a duo. You put up Janelle. That's the way it has to be, Cody. And he's like, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. She's really trying hard to convince Cody to put Janelle next to Kacer. We're never really going to find out if he actually would have done that or if he would have gone with a pawn plan, because Kacer is going to ultimately win that safety suite and save Janelle, which is not great for what Nicole wants. It's also not great for what Cody wanted. So Nicole and Cody are going to link up after that. Cody is going to decide that Keisha will have to now be the target and Kevin will go up as the pawn. Nicole gives up on trying to protect Keisha because who else is going to go up at this point? She already had to vouch so hard for Danny and Ian. She's just happy that she can keep Danny and Ian off the block. She's also losing Kevin, who she thought she might be able to pull. But this is an acceptable loss here. She doesn't have any real relationships with Kevin or Keisha. They were just potential people that she was looking to work with. And so, she's very okay with, okay, fine. Keisha, Kevin, Keisha goes home. That's whatever. I'll deal with it. So in the meantime, Danny is going to approach Cody, about working together. She's going to talk with Enzo a little bit later, and things are going to start rolling in that direction. While all of that is happening, Nicole is going to approach Devon about working together. She says that she really is thankful for the vote that Devon gave her, that gave her the $500,000. Devon is later going to say, she waited like 4 years to thank me for that vote. And I'm just thinking about like the things Devon can say while casting a vote, not for Nicole in the final two. I feel like Dave, I can't come up with a line for Devon because Devon is will definitely have a better one than I could. But this is the start of something as well. Nicole is actually going to find a lot of success in playing Devon over the course of the season, which shouldn't be too surprising considering that she had some decent success doing so in Big Brother 18 as well. She's locking in Devon. She's got Danny. She's got Cody. She's got Ian. The next person that she tries to get close to is Christmas. She's going to spend a lot of time talking with Christmas. Christmas is somebody that likes to talk about herself. And she is somebody that, as we've seen in the episodes, she doesn't always find a captive audience. And Nicole is somebody who is very capable of just like sitting there and hearing Christmas out and listening to Christmas and giving her all of the attention that she needs. And so she's going to make some decent progress bonding with Christmas as well here in the first week. Then she gets pulled into this, she doesn't get pulled into it yet. That's a little bit later. Cody's then going to nominate Kevin and Keisha officially. She's going to go to Cody and say, hey, I'm not feeling Enzo. I don't like this guy. I don't think I'm not gelling with him very well. Cody says, no, don't worry. Enzo's cool. In fact, I think we can work with him. I'm telling you, this is going to be good. So this is, again, like Nicole knows that Enzo is not somebody that she's going to connect with. It's not beneficial for her to have Enzo in an alliance with her because Enzo is Cody's person. She needs her own people. If she wants to be the controller in the group, in the game, then she needs her people in this group. She needs Ian. She needs Danny. She needs Devon. She needs Christmas. And she does not need an Enzo there who's just going to be loyal to Cody. And so she's clearly trying to be like, hey, this Enzo character, I don't know about him, but she just doesn't have the pull. And that's kind of the story of Nicole's game. She often knows what to do, but doesn't usually have the pull to make it happen. And so Cody is going to shut her down here, say Enzo is cool. Let's be cool with Enzo. To try to counter this, Nicole urges Ian. She says, hey, Ian, you need to go to Cody and you need to talk about wanting to work with him. Because you know, I'm cool with Cody. I want you to be cool with Cody. She's trying to get Ian into the core because the more people she has in the core, the more power she has, right? So again, she knows what she needs to do, but her pieces are just not quite as capable and she doesn't have the pull to make these things happen. So Ian is going to go and try to talk to Cody, but it pretty much goes nowhere. There's no real connection there. Devon is going to have more success with Cody, but it's going to be separate from Nicole's involvement because Nicole didn't facilitate it properly. So the committee is going to start to be formed. The core four is on its way. So the core four officially forms. In fact, the core four comes together. Danny approaches Nicole. She says, hey, Enzo and Cody, I like Enzo. I think we should make this happen. Nicole's like, cool. The core four forms. It's Cody, Enzo, Nicole, and Danny. This is not the ideal scenario for Nicole, again, because it has Enzo and not somebody like Ian. But she has Danny and she has Cody. So if there's an Enzo there, she can deal with it. She still feels like she's probably in the center of this. Now, unfortunately for her at this point, it's not quite the case there. It's Cody and Enzo versus Nicole and Danny. And pretty soon the Cody infection is going to pull Danny away from her as well. And Cody is going to be the true center of this alliance. In the meantime, she tries to work on Kacer. She goes to Kacer and she says she's trying to grab more pieces if she can. She says, hey, Kacer, you remind me of Victor. You're just both great people. She says that Danny, she tells Danny that she likes Kacer. She thinks that if she can get close to Kacer, he can help get Janelle on her side. Danny says that's a bad idea. You don't want Janelle on your side. Danny says Kacer is not good at the game. Kacer's not good at this game. Don't bother with Kacer. And they also talk about how they cannot trust Nicole Anthony because of her co-host. This is what happens all season long in the Danny Nicole relationship. Danny is somebody who wants to isolate her allies, from their allies. And it's a very typical strategy in Big Brother. You want to isolate your allies from the other people that they're working with so that they only have you. It's something that Cody is going to do through his actions by physically removing the allies of his allies out of the game. But what Dany tries to do instead of doing that is she badmouths the allies, if that makes sense. So Dany plants seeds. She says, hey, you don't want to work with Kacer. He's really bad at this game. She says, hey, you got to watch out for Janelle. You can't work with Janelle. Why do you think you can work with Janelle? Janelle is coming for you, Nicole. You can't stop it. She says, hey, watch out for Tyler. Watch out for Memphis. Hey, Ian has to go. Dany is constantly trying to wall off Nicole from having other relationships. She's even telling Nicole at one point in the game, hey, don't talk to Christmas anymore. You can't talk to Christmas. And Nicole eventually gets fed up with it. But this is kind of the start of this, right? She's telling her, don't talk to Janelle. Don't talk to Kacer. It's not worth it. Now, again, this is not like a really unique strategy that, again, lots of people do this. They isolate their allies from any support that they can get. The difference here that with Dany is that she does it without having any real power and without any real reason. Cody is going to eliminate Ian, but he's going to use Dany to do it. And he's going to be like, oh, man, can you believe Dany got rid of Ian? And then Nicole is going to come to him when Dany is the one saying, no, don't work with Ian. Ian has to go, Nicole. You have to let go of Ian. Then Nicole's like, why are you trying to separate me from Ian? It's not very effective. So Dany's going to be doing that a lot throughout the game to Nicole more so than anyone else. So the core four forms up. Enzo ends up winning the veto. And then Memphis is going to start to approach people about this committee alliance. It's at the time, it's named the Unusual Suspects. He talks to Dany. And Dany comes in clutch for Nicole here. This is one of Nicole's most crucial moments in the entire game, is this Dany and Memphis conversation, because Memphis had no intention of including Nicole in the committee. But he talked to Dany, and Dany said that Bailey cannot be in the committee because she is too close to Devon. So they talk about other options. They cycle through a few other people until he lands on Nicole. And Dany says, Nicole sounds like a good option. And Dany makes sure that Nicole is included in this committee alliance. Very, very key for Nicole. Memphis did not even know her name, or barely what she looked like. But he was like, sure, she seems fine. With the inclusion in the committee, Nicole is going to be set up a lot better here. But it's around this time that that Enzo is outmaneuvering her in the Devon department, and Enzo is going to be putting together the Connect Four. So while she does have this tie with Devon, she does not have the alliance connection to back it up. And that is going to really, again, damage the power that Nicole has in the game. Again, Nicole has the most amount of connections in the house, the most amount of individual people often. Cody is going to quickly surpass her as he makes connections in game, but she came in with the most and she has the second most easily. In terms of individual connections, Enzo certainly rivals her in that department as well. But she is never able to put those pieces together in the correct order to create a structure that she's on the top of. She has Devon, but Devon is in alliances with Cody and Enzo, later going to be in the Slick Six, which Nicole is not a part of. She's included in the committee alliance, but the committee alliance is stacked against her. It has Cody. Cody and Christmas are her two tightest connections there. She has Dany there as well. But then she has three other people she has barely any relationship with. She has two other people that she has barely any relationship with. Whereas somebody like Cody is in good with every single member of the committee, except for perhaps Christmas. So Cody is ahead there. And again, Cody is the number one for more people within that crew. The same is going to be said of Enzo a bit later on as well, that he quite can't quite put everything together in the right order for himself, but he's going to have an easier time of that over the course of the season. She's never able to fully get Ian involved, so that's not super helpful to her. And the people that she does have in these alliances have much better options than her often, and that's going to leave her very vulnerable for most of the season. But she's a fighter. She's a survivor. She's very slimy. It's hard to hold on to her. So that's going to go to her benefit as she tries to avoid these situations that she is unable to strategize her way out of. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Memphis is going to end up rounding out the rest of the committee. He approaches Tyler and Christmas, who are not really into it because they don't really like any of those people. But when he approaches Nicole, she loves it. Whew. I'm included in this thing. That was lucky. I don't know if Nicole ever even found out that that Danny is like the one that hardcore made sure she was involved. But again, she's now officially in the committee. She also has the core four, and then she has her few different final two-ish connections. Devon tells Nicole that she's worried about Ian. And so now this is where Nicole is able to utilize some of her relationships. And it's more of an individual game than it is a power structure game. But she's able to leverage her connection to Ian because Ian doesn't do well socially. Nobody feels good with Ian except for Nicole. And so when people are concerned about Ian, Nicole is able to say, oh, don't worry, I can talk to Ian for you, and I'll make sure you're good with him. She says that today, and then she talks to Ian, and Ian says, hey, I remember when Devon said that Steve was dangerous because he reminded her of me. So she probably thinks that I'm dangerous, right? Like, I don't like that. She says, hey, keep working on Devon, which is great. She's going to go back to Devon and say, hey, I'm working on Ian for you, which is great. It helps her with Devon. But again, she's never able to connect Devon and Ian in any meaningful way, and thus never able to build anything on top of these connections. I point all this out not to diminish her game here. There's a lot of impressive things she's doing here in week one. But I want to be clear that when we talk about her place in the game and the amount of danger that she's been in all season long, these are the reasons why, even though she's in the power structure, she's actually one of the people who is most in danger throughout most of the season. And the reason is that she is in the power structure, but she is she's handcuffed within it. She can't move anywhere. She's locked in. And she has pieces, but it's like that game with the cars. We have to move the cars and then get out the thing. You know what I mean? Like there's a path in the right combination of car placements, but her placements are all wrong, and she can't figure out the right. She knows the right configuration, but she doesn't actually have the physical power to move the cars. It took a little while, but I think I got there. So Cody's going to talk to Nicole about how the next couple of nominees should be Nicole Anthony and David. She's not super into that because she would prefer that Janelle be targeted, but she's down to help Cody with what he wants. And that's another key aspect of Nicole's game. When she is not able to successfully get her own way, most of the time she is knowledgeable enough and aware enough to back down and not try to get her own way and instead support the vision of others. And you might think that that is a flaw in somebody's game, but it actually really helps her survive. Again, she is a survivalist kind of player. She just makes it through the game by the skin of her teeth often. And being a team player, being somebody that is able to support the people in power, can be very valuable and can help you get further in the game. Now, it will hurt you with the jury usually, and we'll talk about this being ultimately, despite it being a positive to her game in some parts, it may also be her biggest fatal flaw, but that comes a bit later. So Cody talks about how he's starting to get nervous about Danny again. Nicole is not nervous about Danny quite yet. Nicole is then going to have an example of another aspect of her game show up here in week one, which is that she's having a conversation with Janelle late at night, and Janelle mentions Corey from season 18, and it really upsets Nicole. She feels like Janelle is trying to get in some digs on her. And she is going to go and cry to Cody and to Danny and to most of the house about how that Janelle is attacking me. She's never felt so attacked. She's bringing up Corey. It's not fair. And this is not the best first impression here in the game. This is going to it's this kind of behavior that that, again, it diminishes the tools that she has to make the moves that she needs to make, because people don't respect her as much. And if they don't respect her as much, they're not going to listen to what she has to say as much. And that's part of what locks her in that traffic jam of a position, right? So she has this really, really bad moment here in week one. The next morning, Danny is going to sit her down and say, Nicole, let me just first tell you, you are beautiful, you're amazing, you're hilarious, you're a great person, but you cannot be doing this. You cannot be doing this. You cannot be crying about these things. You cannot be having these emotional outbursts. And Nicole says, I know. And from this point forward, there's nothing quite as bad as that from this point forward. She never has a freak out quite as bad as that week one freak out. She does put a bit of a lid on it there. Devon at this point is going to tell the cameras that her priorities in the game are Bailey, Enzo, Danny, Cody, and Nicole. So she has made, again, some decent progress individually with Devon to get Devon to feel like Nicole is a priority in her game, which is very good because she came into this game with a potentially shaky relationship with Devon, given their history. So at the end of this week, Keisha is going to be voted out unanimously. Nicole is not really a huge part of all of the shenanigans that go on toward the end of the week. That is mostly going to be Devon. Devon really running around. Again, I talked about this in more detail for the Cody recap because this had much more of an impact on Cody. But the bottom line is, based on sort of Devon's last minute pretending to Janelle that she was going to be a vote for Keisha, Janelle is going to make a last minute push, which is really going to show Cody that there's no way he can work with Janelle. And now Janelle is the target for Cody or getting there. Janelle is now closer to being a target for Cody, which is better for Nicole because Janelle is currently targeting Nicole. Memphis is going to then win the week two HOH. But just to quickly recap here for the week one here, Nicole is going to grab Cody, Danny, Ian, Devon, start connecting with Christmas. She gets pulled into the core four and the committee. That's basically her first week here. It's a very good first week. A lot of people had very good first weeks, though. Danny had a better one. Enzo had a better one. Cody obviously had a better one. But she is up there in terms of this is pretty good. She's decently set up. Her biggest problem is that she has a lot of people coming after her, mainly Janelle and, you know, anyone that Janelle can convince to go after Nicole. So with that in mind, if Janelle did go after Nicole, that would be very bad because Nicole, despite being in an okay position in the power structure, again, is not very well insulated. She would be one of the people that would definitely go home if she was up on the block next to most of her allies. So if she's up on the block at this point next to Danny, she would be the one likely to go. If she were up next to Cody, she would be the one to go. Ian is somebody that she would likely stay next to, and that's going to be helpful for her for a little while, but it's not going to last very long. And she would not end up on the block next to Davon at this point in time. So not super well insulated, but it doesn't matter because because Memphis is going to win the HOH. Then Nicole is going to continue to get to work here on Christmas. She really feels like she needs Janelle out of this house because she does. Janelle is coming for her and she's going to work on Christmas. She lets Christmas know. She says, hey, Janelle is trying to target you. I bet if Janelle had won that competition, she would have put you on the block. This, as far as I know, is not even remotely true, but Christmas believes it. Christmas is team committee, and team committee is anti-Janelle, and thus she is anti-Janelle, and Nicole is a huge part of that as she is whispering terrible lies into her ears about Janelle. And so she's again making more and more progress on Christmas. So in the meantime, Janelle Kacer and Nicole Anthony are going to suspect that there's a four-person alliance in this house. They think it's Cody, Danny, Tyler, and Nicole Franzel. And of that foursome, Nicole Franzel is their target. And this is why I wanted to try to explain to you why Nicole is in this position. And the fact that she has these connections, but she's vulnerable. It's like there's a, you know, it's like there's an onion alliance, right? And she's toward the core of this onion alliance, but there's like a huge hole, like right through the onion, pointing right at her. And like if anything attacks the onion, she's the one that goes. So it's not great. That was the opposite of the analogy I used earlier, so I apologize for that. But Nicole Franzel is going to be the target of this, you know, potential counter here. And they think that group is going to try and target Christmas. And so they're going to approach Christmas and try to warn her that, hey, Nicole Franzel, Tyler, Danny, and Cody are trying to target you. And Christmas is going to go ahead and rat them out because she doesn't believe them. Nicole Franzel and others are already in her ear. Nicole is going to tell Ian, hey, you should talk to Christmas. She's trying to make that connection happen because, again, she needs to form some kind of group, build something. She needs to build anything that is in her favor instead of all of the other people's favor. So she's trying to connect Ian with Christmas. Christmas is one of the people she's working on. Ian is somebody she already has. If she can link those two up, that would be great for her. She encourages Ian to talk to Christmas, to make Christmas some offers, maybe get her to potentially use the safety suite on him. He's going to go ahead and do so. She's also going to talk to Christmas about how they should try to pull in some of the middle people. They have the committee. They have Janelle and Kacer on the other side. And so let's try and pull some of the people in the middle toward us. One of those people happens to be Ian. Christmas is then going to win the safety suite, and she's going to go ahead and save Ian. She tells the cameras afterward, what I wanted to do is pull in some of the people from the middle to our side. Some good work there. Again, she does good things. It's just not all the way there all the time. Memphis is going to go ahead and nominate Nicole, Anthony, and David. Nicole Franzel is very happy about this. It's not what she wanted in terms of getting Janelle out, but she also needed to get Nicole Anthony out. And not only is Nicole Anthony now vulnerable, but Nicole Anthony is the only person who still has the ability to play in a safety suite that is not already in their core power structure. And so she is going to go ahead and quickly use that as an argument for why Nicole Anthony is the one that should go home. There are moments throughout this week where people consider changing the vote and getting rid of David instead because Nicole Anthony is so anti-Janelle and Kacer by the end of the week. But it's this argument that keeps the target for sure locked in on Nicole Anthony. So you got to give her credit for that as well. Janelle and Kacer are going to pitch to Memphis that they have this four-person alliance theory, and they say that Nicole Franzel should be backdoored. Kacer warns Memphis that every season a big alliance forms and dominates the season. We need to stop that now by getting rid of Nicole Franzel. Why Nicole Franzel is always the target of everyone's ire? Again, because she's not insulated. We're going to see later that Tyler's going to feel the same way. I weaken Cody by getting out Nicole Franzel. Memphis, though, is not going to agree to the Nicole backdoor plan. He's then going to give Cody the heads up that Janelle is against this group of four, which includes four members of the committee. And he also gives Cody the heads up that they are trying to get Nicole backdoored. So Cody is then going to go and talk to Nicole that Janelle is trying to get her backdoored. But don't worry, Memphis will not do it. This is, again, impressive from Nicole. She's somebody that usually is, you know, kind of freaking out a little bit about things here and there. But when she hears that there's a plan to try to get her backdoored, she does not freak out about it. She keeps her cool and she plays it well. She doesn't freak out. She keeps her calm. She goes to Ian. She says, hey, I convinced Christmas to save you. We can trust Christmas. We should work with Christmas. Janelle is the enemy. And don't worry, I'm trying to work on pulling you into things. All of which were true, and Ian is going to kind of follow lockstep in behind her. At this point, Cody is now fully anti-Janelle, which is great for Nicole because she was having a lot of trouble convincing him to be, but Janelle has proven herself to be an enemy, and that is going to work toward her advantage. So Tyler is going to... Tyler's going to talk to the cameras after Christmas saves Ian, and he says that he is concerned. Like, why did Christmas save Ian? I don't like this. I'm going to have to talk to Christmas some more. I don't want her to fall under Nicole's influence. He doesn't want to lose Christmas to Nicole. And it's interesting that he says this because ultimately he will lose Christmas to Nicole. He actually is going to lose this fight. And again, you have to give Nicole credit for that. Nicole is very good at the specialized things that she does. And I think I'm going to try to hammer this home as often as I can, because Nicole is a very skilled player in one area of the game, and she consistently falls pretty flat in another area of the game. The area that she's good at is these small little things, convincing people of things, making sure that somebody goes home, supporting a big alliance, supporting a partner in the game, you know, winning people to her side when she needs to. All of those things, great. They help her survive. They help her get another step further in the game. They help contribute toward an overall power structure that works for her as long as it's still in place. The thing that she is not able to do is the thing that Cody is doing so successfully. And Cody, unfortunately, has her beat in many of these areas in terms of what he did this season. What she's not able to do is put these pieces together. The big picture is not something that Nicole does well. And that is why she is left so vulnerable to the other side of the house. If they ever won power, they were going to be targeting Nicole Franzel. I apologize if I repeat that point too much, but it's kind of a difficult concept to reconcile into one player. But it's I really think it's key to her game this season in particular. Nicole Anthony is going to eventually be convinced that Janelle and Kacer were behind her nomination. Cody and the whole crew, including Nicole Franzel, are going to encourage this misunderstanding. Danny tells Nicole that she's going to she's got an idea. Now that they know Janelle is after them, she wants to offer Janelle a fake deal. The fake deal is going to be, hey, me, Nicole Franzel, Cody, and Tyler, we want to work with you. Nicole says, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that. I don't like that idea. And Danny says, I'm going to do it anyway. That's going to cause them a lot of trouble for a long time. So Danny's going to go ahead and do it. She proposes this alliance to Janelle, and then Janelle is going to immediately rat them out to Bay and Day. And that's going to cause a lot of problems in addition to all of the problems that are already being caused in that whole crew. This is actually going to work out in Nicole's favor at the end, though, because it's going to demolish the other side of the power structure that she has no say in. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. We'll talk about it. Day is going to propose some alliances to Danny, Tyler, and then Nicole. And she's going to tell Danny that Tyler proposed it. This is going to cause some drama as well. She's doing this to test Danny. Nicole is going to approach Cody about this, offered alliance, and they both agree that they should not accept the offer. Nicole wants to. Nicole says, I would love to be in an alliance with Ian and Day and you and Danny. Like, that sounds like a great alliance for her. But Cody says, no, we shouldn't accept it. We don't want to make too many deals. We're going to have to go back on it. Day's been acting too sketchy. She's been spreading misinformation. This is right after they found out that Day was actually lying about who approached them about this thing. So Cody is able to, again, shut down Nicole's attempt to build something that works in her own favor. And she just kind of sits there and takes it. Devon is going to question Nicole about this whole group that that Janelle is talking about. And Nicole is like, no, that's not real. What are you talking about? Day says, if it is real, I want in. Again, she's trying to pitch this alliance. Nicole says she would like to solidify something. Devon lets Nicole know that she can't trust Bailey to not be secretly working with Janelle. At this point in the game, it's hard to remember sometimes, but Devon was very suspicious of Bailey because she was aware, made aware by Danny, that she had something with Bailey in the pregame. Nicole says that's very worrisome. If Bailey has something with Janelle, then, you know, we can't trust Bailey. You know what else? Janelle was trying to spread rumors about me in the pregame. She was saying that I cried and got Derek and Cody kicked off from the game and all this nonsense. Derek and Dan kicked off from the game and all this nonsense. And this, I believe, is probably the start of the Nicole and Bailey feud. I guess Nicole targeting Bailey, Devon letting Nicole know that Bailey is essentially not to be trusted because she is too close to Janelle. So Danny is going to, the whole Danny thing is going to break open. Cody tells Nicole no to the alliance. Janelle is going to tell Kacer, hold on. Why are we targeting Nicole Franzel? Nicole Franzel's not the person we should be worried about. Cody's the person we should be worried about. We were right to, we shouldn't, why are we targeting Nicole Franzel? She's nothing in this game. And this is going to be a little bit of a break for Nicole, but the target's going to come back around to Nicole pretty quickly. And here's part of the reason why. Janelle is going to try and pull Ian into their counter group. She says, Ian, you need to join with us because you are not a part of this, this big group, and we will help you. We will work with you. Come work with us. Ian says, here's the thing. You're against Nicole. She said, well, I mean, I'm not for Nicole. And Ian says, yeah, I can't work with you. I can't do, I'm with Nicole. You're going to go after Nicole. And in fact, I would advise you not to go after Nicole, because if you do, I'm going to be coming for you. And Janelle's like, well, guess we can't work with Ian. Kevin is going to warn Nicole, hey, Janelle's trying to get you backdoored. Watch out. This is something that she does that I liked. She says to Kevin, thank you so much for telling me. I've actually been told by a couple other people as well. So the fact that you told me this just tells me that I know I can trust you, because I know it's going around, and I'm really glad that you told me this. All through the week, she continues to check in with Christmas. She talks to Nicole Anthony, who confirms to her, she says, Nicole Anthony says, yes, night one, I had a conversation with Janelle where she was calling you all kinds of names. She was saying that you were a terrible person. All of your suspicions are confirmed. Janelle hates you, and she hated you before she even interacted with you. And Nicole's like, I knew it. So Bailey is getting concerned that Cody is going to choose Nicole and Danny over her and Devon because of this whole Danny pitching a group to Janelle thing. And so she's starting to feel, you know, some anti-Nicole feelings there as well. Kacer is going to let Ian know, dude, you're on the outs. You're not in the alliance. This is the brigade and you are not in it. No good. Then a bunch of drama happens with Devon and Bailey and David and Janelle, and they're trying to flip the vote and everyone finds out about it. And in order to counter it, they form the Slick Six. Nicole is not part of any of that, and she is left out of the Slick Six, which is not going to matter too much in the end, but again, continues to put her in some danger in the coming weeks because she's not included. Ian, after his conversation with Kacer, is going to question Nicole. Hey, what's up? Is there a big alliance going on that I'm not a part of? No, there's not anything official, but I'm trying to bring you in. He says, just don't brigade me. Just never. I would never brigade you. He says, look, I trust that you're going to get me as far as you can, just like Lane did with Brittany. I mean, hey, Lane brought Brittany all the way to the Final Four. And she's like, exactly. So, you know, just watch out for Janelle. She was talking about, I heard Janelle was saying that she could flip your vote easy. And she was laughing about it. And he goes, oh, Janelle, Janie, that's so disappointing. She's got to go. Nicole had, like, so much control over Ian in this first portion of the game. Nicole and Christmas agree that Enzo is more trustworthy than Memphis, even though Enzo is not a part of the committee. She's feeling better and better about Enzo as Cody is working on her more and more to trust Enzo. And she is bonding more and more with Christmas. Nicole is going to go and approach Cody and let him know that, hey, we need to pull Ian into something official or he's going to flip on us. He keeps talking about being brigaded. Cody says, I don't really want to. He doesn't want to bring Nicole's pieces into official alliances because that would give Nicole more power. But he agrees that he doesn't want Ian to flip on them. So they go ahead and form a four-person alliance with Ian, Cody, Nicole, and Danny called Four Prime. It's not going to have much relevance to the game, but it's there. Nicole Anthony is then voted out 10-2 with Kevin giving a sympathy vote and Enzo casting a rogue vote. Heading into week 3, Nicole is still in some danger here. A lot of people might target her. A lot of people would certainly put her on the block, even if they were trying to target Cody. And a lot of people think that if Cody is sitting next to her, Cody would leave. But in fact, Nicole is the one that would end up leaving, and thus she is in a lot of trouble. However, Tyler's going to win this HOH, and she's not going to have to worry. Danny is going to tell Nicole that Tyler needs to go. He's too good at these competitions. Nicole is going to try to encourage Tyler to target Janelle because she'll win an America's vote more readily than Kacer. Nicole, very good at these little like catchy arguments to help get people out. Again, she's very good at this small stuff. And this this argument that Janelle is going to win America's votes, she's going to win buybacks, she's going to win a power. This is going to have some staying power throughout the week when people start to question, should we get out Janelle? Yes, we should. She's going to win a power. Tyler agrees with the logic. There's a misconception here this week. I talked about it last week that Cody wanted Kacer out this week and not Janelle. That is actually not the case. Cody, separate from his conversations with Nicole, wanted Janelle out this week. He had talked in the previous week about potentially wanting Kacer out, but by the time this week starts, he wanted Janelle out as well. So he will be pushing Janelle this week as well. Enzo's going to win the safety suite. And he's going to save Christmas. This is not great. One of the biggest battles the entire season is the battle for Christmas's loyalty. Everybody wanted Christmas's loyalty. Tyler had such a big advantage, but he ends up losing it. He loses the battle to Nicole, who then is going to lose the battle to Enzo. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that with Enzo's recap. But Enzo is going to use his safety suite on Christmas, and that's going to be the start of Enzo and Christmas starting to bond as well. But Nicole is not done with Christmas quite yet at this point. In fact, she's just getting started. Tyler's going to go ahead and nominate Janelle and Kacer. And this is when things get a little weird for Nicole. She's going to be joking around with Day about how David has a crush on her. Bailey is not a fan of this conversation. She thinks that it's going to be damaging for Davon's game. She tells Nicole she needs to stop. It's bad for Nicole if it's bad for Day's game. This is the thing that ruined her game on her season, her relationship with Swaggy. So don't do this lightly. Nicole says, showmances aren't bad. I had a showmance and I won my game. Bailey says, well, sure, but it took you a few times and a few boys to make it happen. Remember, that was the unfortunate wording at the time. After Bailey leaves, Davon tells Nicole, yeah, Bailey was pissed at you. Did you see her? Did you see what she said? She said a couple tries and a couple tries. And that's why she said that. She's so mad at you, Nicole. And Nicole cries. And then Day goes and tells Bailey that you made Nicole cry. Bailey, because you said it took her a couple tries and a couple guys. And Bailey's like, is that not true? Bailey then says that she's not used to the level of sensitive that Nicole is. This is very annoying. She goes and talks to Tyler about it. She says she thinks Nicole is worried about how close she is to Janelle because of the Amazing Race stuff, which is the case. Bailey knew it, this really was a situation where I think Nicole already felt a little bit of a way toward Bailey because she felt like Bailey was too close to Janelle. And if she's too close to Janelle, then she might be coming after her, which was true. So she tells Janelle that she wants to go ahead and target Nicole this coming week if she wins the HOH. Again, more people targeting Janelle. Many of the outsiders are going to, or sorry, targeting Nicole. Many of the outsiders are going to be targeting Nicole throughout most of the weeks. If any of them win an HOH, many of them come close, but it never happens. And that's going to be good for Nicole. Not good for her in terms of her safety throughout the season, but good for her that that she didn't have to deal with it because her allies won. So Cody's going to go ahead and win the veto. And Nicole is going to confide in Christmas about the Bailey situation. This is the moment here that really cements the Nicole and Christmas relationship as a duo. She explains the whole couple tries, couple guys comment. And she says she's scared that Bailey is going to be targeting her now. Christmas says, don't worry. That was very mean of her. I've got your back. And then Nicole invites Christmas to her wedding, which is basically a final two offer. I mean, come on. Kevin tells Day that he wants to go after Nicole as well. She is too volatile in this game. A lot of people trying to target Nicole, and she has no shields in front of her right now because a lot of them are smart enough not to put Ian up next to her. Cody lets Nicole know that it's important that Cody tells Nicole and Danny it's important for Kacer to leave next week because there might be a buyback. Nicole doesn't really want Kacer to leave next week, but again, she doesn't really have the ability. If Cody wants something, she can't counter Cody. Anytime she wants something, you know, Cody needs to be on board or it's not going to happen. And so preventing the Kacer's eviction next week is not going to happen. Cody tells them that they can't make the same mistake Danny did in Big Brother 13. At this point in the game, Danny had let Nicole know about the Slick Six, but Cody had not. And so when it's revealed that Nicole knows about the Slick Six, Nicole has to basically be like, it's all right. I don't mind, Cody. I don't mind that you didn't tell me. And she didn't. I mean, nothing really comes of it. I only bring it up because it happened. Nicole tells Cody she trusts Enzo a lot more at this point, and things are looking good for the Nicole and Enzo relationship, at least in terms of how Cody wants it to be. Nicole is then going to work some more on Christmas. She's already planted the seeds based on the couple tries, couple guys comment, but Christmas is not as into this idea. Tyler, at this point, is working on Christmas, trying to get Christmas to go after Danny. Tyler has been planting Danny seeds with Christmas a lot. Christmas is receptive to those Danny seeds, but when Nicole tries to push Day and Bay, she very quickly moves toward the Day and Bay direction, mostly because Day and Bay aren't in the committee, and she'd have to break up the committee to go after Danny. So Nicole has an advantage there, but Christmas would prefer that Day is the one to go and not Bay. However, over the course of this week, through many conversations, Nicole is able to convince Christmas that that Bailey is the one that's more dangerous and that Bailey is the one that she should target. Tyler tries to counter this. Christmas is going to go to Tyler and say, hey, I want to target Devon. It's later going to be Bailey, but she says, hey, I want to target Devon. And Tyler says, you shouldn't target Devon. That's not the right move. Danny is the dangerous one. We need to watch out for Danny. Christmas says, maybe, but I kind of want to target Devon. And he's not able to break through to her. A couple days later, Tyler concedes. Tyler tries to convince Christmas again. Please don't target Day and Bay. That's not the right move. Christmas at this point is like, I want to target Bailey. Now she's on Bailey because Nicole has convinced her. And Tyler says, you want to target Bailey? Well, I mean, look, if you're going to target Devon and Bailey, at least, okay, first of all, they both need to be on the block. And I would prefer that Bailey stay at that point. But Tyler just can't make a dent in this. Nicole is putting in too much work. And for whatever reason, Tyler is unable to counter Nicole's work here. And so Nicole is really going to take over the Christmas reigns. Christmas is going to let Nicole know that Bailey talked to her about maybe targeting Cody. Nicole's going to tell Cody about it, trying to get Cody to target Bailey. And now he is he's sold. Yeah, I'll target Bailey after Kacer. So again, as long as she's able to get Cody on her side, she can make some things happen. Now she wanted Bailey gone after Janelle, but again, Cody wanted Kacer, and so they're gonna have to wait until after Kacer. Nicole is then going to officially propose a final two with Christmas. She says that she feels like they can work well together, and Christmas agrees to the final two. At this point, Christmas is still not 100% sold on Nicole, but she's willing to accept this final two deal. And she's more loyal to Tyler, but she feels good with Nicole. And so they're locked in. Nicole, at this point in the game, says to the cameras, I'm Christmas's number one. I'm Ian's number one. I'm Cody's number one. And I'm Danny's number one. Boom. And I want to drag Ian and Christmas as far as I can. We can make this work. And I need to get Cody to trust Christmas more. And I need to talk to Ian and make sure he's going to target Bailey next. So that's where she thinks she is. At this point in the game, she's wrong. Tyler is Christmas's number one. She's right that she's Ian's number one. She's definitely wrong that she's Cody's number one. Cody, at this point, again, Cody recognizes that he might end up on the block next to Nicole. He recognizes that Nicole might end up on the block next to somebody like Enzo or somebody like that. At this point in the game, he is very willing to let Nicole go. He's telling Enzo more things than Nicole. Again, he didn't even tell her about the Slick Six. And so she is definitely not Cody's number one. And at this point in the game, she is also not even Danny's number one. At this point, Cody has already pulled Danny away from Nicole. So she is a little bit overestimating her status here with many of these people, but she at least has connections to them. So she does work on Ian and she does get Ian to target Bailey next week. So she's got that going for her. And Janelle, Bailey, and Kacer all agree that they are going to be targeting Nicole next week. So, you know, that HOH that the Kacer almost had, he was going after Nicole. Nicole would be on the block there. Now, at this point in the game, they may or may not have put Danny on the block, and she may have been able to escape. But again, she was the target, and she was very not very well protected. Danny, at this point in the game, is going to try to convince Nicole that Ian has to go soon. And Nicole really doesn't like this. She's really frustrated that Danny is trying to take out her allies and convince her that her allies are people that need to go and that she shouldn't keep them around or talk to them. So she's getting very frustrated with Danny. Bay and Day, at this point in the game, are trying to flip the vote to keep Janelle, and Cody is using Nicole as an excuse not to. And it's at this point in the game that they describe Nicole as Cody's Victoria. It's not a great perception to have. And despite this, they're still targeting her, or at least Bailey is. Janelle is going to then be evicted by a 9-2 vote, with Danny and Enzo both casting rogue votes. So heading into week four, she is again in some danger here if Bailey or Kacer or Kevin win this next HOH, but none of them do. Enzo is going to win this next HOH, and she's going to be in the clear here. Now, Nicole is not going to have much influence this week. She would like for Bailey to go, but Cody wants Kacer to go, and so that's the direction it's going to end up going. Danny tells Nicole that she wants Memphis out soon. She's sick of Ian acting dumb, and Nicole is trying to protect Ian from Danny, but to no avail. And she's getting very frustrated about it. Danny's still pushing Ian, and she can't stop Danny from pushing Ian. It's very annoying. She doesn't have a lot to do this week. She does talk to Cody about her frustrations with Danny. She says that she trusts him more than anyone in this house. She doesn't want Ian to go this week. She's frustrated that she's finding out that that Enzo might put Ian on the block. She's like, whoa, no, I don't want that. But she's not able to prevent it from happening because she doesn't have the pull, because Cody's not on her side. But she thinks it's because Danny's not on her side and that because, you know, whatever. She doesn't realize how much control Cody has at this point. So she goes to Cody. She says, Danny wants Ian out and she wants Tyler out. And Tyler is like, you're Ian. Why is she doing this? Cody says, look, now we know that Danny is trying to run between us. She's trying to isolate us from our other allies. Now that we know this, we can just be the tighter pair ourselves. But it's important to make sure that she still thinks she's the go-between between the two of us, that she thinks that she is the one that will be taken to the final three. She's like our Frankie. This is when Cody locks Nicole in to him, much more so than Danny. And this is going to be very valuable for Cody. It's also going to be valuable for Nicole when things start to go wrong. But part of why things go wrong is because of Cody. So, you know, these are always hard things to judge here. Devon is going to talk about Nicole to Bailey. She says that she could not put Nicole up. Bailey thinks Nicole is a problem. Bailey wants Nicole gone. So a little bit of a disagreement there between Bailey and Devon. Enzo is going to nominate Kacer and Kevin, Kevin as a pawn, Kacer as the target. And, Nicole is going to talk to Danny about how badly they want Bailey out next. Danny has developed her own issues with Bailey, but that works out for Nicole because she has been trying to push Bailey, and Nicole certainly is helping grease those wheels. But I would not say that Nicole got Danny to target Bailey like she got Ian and Christmas to target Bailey. Danny had her own significant problems with Bailey there. Kevin is going to go ahead and win the veto. He's going to take himself off, and Nicole freaks. Again, she's not really involved in the discussions about what's happening this week. She is kind of like doing her own thing, working on her frustrations with Danny, trying to get people to target Bailey next because she knows that she can't win this round. So she's giving it up and she's willing to let whoever is in charge of this round. She doesn't even really know. She's willing to let who's ever in charge of this round have this one. She's going to try and make sure that Bailey's the one that goes next week. And she's going to succeed at that because Cody's on board with it. And so she's working on Ian. She's working on Christmas. She's working on Danny. She's working on Cody. And by the time that Kevin wins this veto, she's like, no, Because as far as she knows, Ian is going to be the replacement nominee and Ian might go home. And that's really bad for her game. So she runs to Ian and she's coaching him up on like, here's how you need to talk to Enzo to make sure he doesn't nominate you. This is what you need to say. You need to make sure that you guarantee him that you're a vote against Kacer. And Ian doesn't want to vote out Kacer, but he's like, okay, I'll do it, anything. And it's at this point that Ian tells Nicole, hey, if you or me don't win, I want Enzo to win. He's a great player. So basically saying that he would vote for her or Enzo to win the game at this point in the game. That's going to change a little bit later, but I thought it was fun to know. Then we get the wall yeller.
Nicole and Cody are playing everyone. Watch out for Nicole and Cody. They're playing everyone.
Now, what's funny about this is that it wasn't really even that true at the time. Nicole and Cody were barely working together. They had just had the first real, like, conversation where they were sharing actual information about Danny. And Cody still had a lot going on behind the scenes that Nicole was not aware of. He was much more closely working with Enzo at this point in time. And ultimately, this wall yeller is not going to have much of an impact at all. But it's a nice selling point at the end of the season. Immediately after the wall yeller, Tyler tells Cody that nobody cares about the wall yeller. Day is going to approach Nicole and say that she doesn't care about the wall yeller. Nicole says, of course nobody cares about the wall yeller. It's just some disgruntled Janelle fan that's mad that I beat Janelle. Suck it, fans of Janelle. She didn't say that part, but it was the intent behind the words, right? Enzo then is going to tell Nicole that Christmas is going up on the block. And she's like, oh, Christmas? Awesome. All that work I did with Ian. Didn't even need to. There we go. That's great. So Kevin uses the veto on himself and Christmas goes up as the replacement nominee. Then he is going to, there's a lot of stuff now, again, happening behind the scenes that Nicole is not aware of. Tyler has been working hard to, plant seeds against Danny, and Nicole, who has her own frustrations with Danny, has been completely unaware of them. This whole game has been, you know, this whole thing has been played without her being aware. And so this all reaches a tipping point when Cody finds out that this is full on. Day, Bay, Enzo, Tyler, they're all gunning for Danny now, which is in a way good for Nicole because they were all going, many of them were going for Nicole before this. But in a way, it's not good for Nicole because Nicole will likely sit on the block next to Danny. And if Danny wins the veto, she would probably go home. So again, not in the best position in the world, but, you know, it's a little bit better than it was before. And it's at this point that Cody finds out that Devon and Bailey are aware that he's aware of the plan. And Cody needs to start doing damage control because there's a lot, again, there's a lot that he has not been telling Nicole. And he can't let Nicole find these things out. Not from him. So Cody's going to go to Nicole and he lets her know that Tyler and Enzo want Danny out because she's been playing too fast, too loose. And Nicole's like, what? They want Danny out? And he's like, yeah, she's been doing all these things. We had that conversation between us about what she was doing to us. She's been doing that to everyone. And she just can't be trusted. She's trying to split us up. She's trying to split everyone up. We're going to have to let it happen if it happens. But, we don't need to do it ourselves. And Nicole's like, yeah, I'm cool with that. So Cody then goes to Enzo and tries to vouch for Nicole and says, hey, Nicole's cool with it. We don't need to go after Nicole. Enzo, though, doesn't really buy that. And he is still pretty anti-Nicole at this part of the game. Ian is then going to, have his whole moment where he pitches to Kevin that Cody and Nicole are running the house and that something must be done about it. Now, despite this, he still does not want to go after Nicole. They think Enzo is on the outskirts and he later makes the same pitch to Bailey. This is the only part of the season where Cody was even, well, you know, like it was like, oh, maybe we can target Cody if Ian wins. But because they thought Enzo was on the outskirts, they would have put Cody up next to Danny or Nicole. And, you know, it wouldn't work out for them. So ultimately, this is completely doesn't even matter at all. I only bring it up because it was a thing that we talked about at the time, but it had zero impact on the game. Nicole is going to talk to Danny about how she is sketched out by Tyler. She knows that Tyler is pulling one over on Danny, and she's trying to subtly warn Danny about it. Danny says, he's trustworthy. It's at this point that Bailey is going to rat Ian out to Enzo and Tyler. Enzo and Tyler are going to tell Cody about it, and then Cody is going to tell Nicole about it, and she goes, oh, ultimate betrayal. And then Kacer is evicted unanimously. Heading into week 5, Christmas wins the HOH, which is again good for Nicole because she was likely going to be put on the block next to Danny, which would not be the best situation for her overall. With Christmas winning the HOH, it's actually doubly good for Nicole because not only does she survive to see another week, but Christmas was one of those few pieces she had left on the board that she had influence over because she lost Ian. At this point, she still has no control over what she has very little control over what Cody does. Cody does what he wants and he gets what he wants. She has lost any influence with Danny. Danny tells her what she wants and doesn't listen to Nicole because she listens to Cody instead. She has lost her influence over Devon if she ever had any because Bailey is so anti-Nicole. Devon will still not target Nicole, but she won't listen to Nicole, which means that the only person she has left in the game that will listen to what she has to say is Christmas. And just like that, Christmas wins the HOH. Boom! Nicole gets lucky sometimes. Ian then gives up all of his information and he apologizes. He's, Nicole, I'm sorry. Cody, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I take it all back. And they're like, all right, fine. Whatever. Maybe. A lot of other stuff happens. Bailey confronts Danny. Bailey now wants to rat Tyler out. Christmas tells Tyler she wants to target Bay and Day. He pushes back, but not very hard. Nicole, she says she's done with Ian. He admitted everything. But then he was like, but I'm innocent. I'm done with Ian. Ultimate betrayal. I'm still done with him. She's gonna come around. She knows she needs him. Her and Danny agree that Bailey should go this week. That's what she wants to do. That's what she wants to make happen. And luckily, she doesn't even have to do much this week. She's already put in the work to make sure that Christmas wanted Bailey out in the first place. So she spends the week doing some damage control. She had targeted Devon a little bit in the knockout competition. And then after Christmas won, she ran up and hugged Christmas like her life depended on it because it did. She got caught doing that. And so she has a conversation with Devon where she was like, what? I didn't hug her like that. I knew you were going to think that I was hugging her like that in the moment. And I was like, oh, that was bad. But like, it was not that. And somehow Devon buys it. So she's good. Christmas, Danny and David are going to end up winning some powers in the basement competition. Danny is going to tell Nicole about her power pretty quickly. She lets Nicole know that she's sketched out by Enzo based on what Bailey is telling her about this whole situation. And she's worried that Cody might be in on it too. Nicole is going to back Cody up and help protect Cody from Danny's wrath, which is, you're going to help contribute toward Cody getting out of this. She also is going to tell, Danny also tells Cody about the power, and she plans on throwing Tyler under the bus. So Danny, Nicole, and Devon then go and have a little notes comparison conversation where Danny says that Tyler talked to her about wanting to target Day and Bay. She exaggerates and lies and gets Devon to give up the goods on Tyler that Tyler has been trying to get Danny targeted for quite a while. And just like that, Tyler is in some trouble. Nicole, then they talk about, hey, let's get Tyler nominated this week. Let's get Tyler out. Now, Nicole is not super into the idea of getting Tyler out. She still wants Bailey out. She's always wanted Bailey out. So Nicole, what Nicole does is she runs from this conversation with this Tyler notes outing conversation. She runs into Christmas's HOH room and she says, hey, we just found out that Tyler is the one that went after Danny and has been the cause of all of this. What do you think about that? And Christmas says, that's annoying, but I'm not going to do anything to break up the committee. I'm not going to go after Tyler. And Nicole says, I agree. I think that's the right call. So when Danny comes in and tries to make the same pitch, Nicole pretends that she's on Danny's side, pretends she's on Christmas's side when she needs to. Basically, Christmas shuts it down. She doesn't want to break up the committee. And so Danny and Nicole reconvene afterward and say, okay, so Christmas is unwilling to target Tyler. I guess that just means that Bailey will have to go this week. Whoops. And then we can pull in Davon afterward and form some kind of women's alliance with Davon, Christmas, Nicole, and Danny. That would be great. Let's make that happen. This is the first time that Nicole has the potential to build some real agency in this game. Again, Christmas winning this HOH was so, so valuable for her because Christmas was willing to do her dirty work and it put her in a position where she was able to maybe actually finally build something. Problem is that we'll talk about the problem. The problem is she's too loyal to Cody. Christmas is going to nominate Day and Bay, and Nicole tells Cody everything except for the Women's Alliance thing. She's actually holding that back for now. She recognizes, I think, that this is an opportunity for her to actually maybe build something. Cody says, hey, we're doing well. The Wall Yeller tried to out us and we're doing fine. Nicole tells Cody that she's happily going to take second place to him. And he says, same. I'll take second place to you as well. Christmas then is going to win the veto. Danny and Nicole talk to Christmas about forming that four-person alliance with Davon. She is down. And they approach Davon and let her know that they are definitely going to be votes for her to stay. Then Christmas fills Tyler in on the fact that he's been exposed and he wants to go after Danny and Nicole now. So here's what happened. Because Nicole went to Christmas, even though she played it pretty well and said she didn't want to target Tyler, the fact that she was involved and didn't tell Tyler was bad for Nicole because Christmas tells Tyler that Nicole and Danny compared notes with Davon and Bailey, and they all found out that Tyler was the one spreading everything. And Tyler now knows that not only did Danny not tell him, but Nicole also did not give him the heads up that he was in trouble, that he had been outed. So he's like, okay, so Danny and Nicole are a duo. They're a pair. They're both in on this. I need both of them gone 100%. It's at this point that another Wall Yeller goes,
Tyler and Christmas have a final two. Watch out for Tyler and Christmas.
And that's not going to work out too well for Tyler. Tyler's also going to then try and quit the game, which is largely irrelevant to Nicole's game. The Blitzing Bombers Alliance forms at this point. Nicole, Danny, Christmas and Day, they get together, they form the alliance. It's a four-person women's alliance. They can't let the guys run this show. Immediately after it forms, Danny's going to tell Cody about it. Christmas is going to tell Tyler about it. And then a couple days later, Nicole's finally going to tell Cody about it. So it didn't really work that well. Part of the problem is that Nicole doesn't think that Day trusts her or them. And she doesn't trust this alliance to work, which is fair because Danny and Christmas both outed it first anyway. And if she hadn't outed this alliance, then she probably would have lost a lot of traction with Cody, which would have meant that she would have gone home a lot sooner than, you know, second place or third place, wherever she might get. So or even first place. You never know. So. This was the most opportunity she had to actually build something in her favor. And it was almost like it was like false hope. It was like in the Roadrunner, they put the painting of a road, but it's a brick wall. Like Nicole could have run through this brick wall. She could have run straight into it. If she had tried to build something here and it would have crashed and she would have failed because she wasn't good enough at building things. But Nicole is smart. She recognizes her own, not always, but she's usually able to recognize her own capabilities. And she sees this brick wall and she goes, hey, Cody, I don't want to go down that road. Can you take me by the hand? And it works. Which is probably the most generous way I can describe Nicole outing a women's alliance to Cody and saying that she's willing to get second place to him. What are we going to do? Tyler lets Enzo and Cody know that he tried to quit the game. He talks to David about it too, and he tells David that they need to target Danny and Nicole. Cody tells Tyler that the women are going to start working together, and they have to watch out for that. Tyler says, I agree. We then see that the personal game information, there's no such thing. There's personal game information. Those are two personal game information. Christmas gets into an argument with Day and Bay. And it's at this point that Nicole is like, whoa, who did I bring to my wedding now? This woman's going to be there? Oh, man. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Yeah, I would just like to say that this is a personal wedding, and I thought I was being invited to a game wedding. And there's definitely no such thing as a personal game wedding, so I'm a little confused. She's a little concerned about who she cast her lot in here with. Danny says, don't talk to Christmas anymore. Don't tell her any information. Danny sees this as a perfect opportunity to cut Nicole off from Christmas. Nicole says she is concerned about Christmas, but she's worried that if they don't talk to her anymore, if they don't give her any information, she's going to catch on that they're not with her anymore. Unfortunately for Nicole, she is going to actually back off from Christmas a bit here. And that's going to be very bad for her. She's going to lose her hold on Christmas. And she is no longer going to have anybody under her influence at all. This is when Enzo is going to start to really sweep in and really take over the Christmas bond from Nicole, who took it from Tyler. And then after Enzo, Memphis is going to come in and steal it. So that's fun. So Nicole is then going to go and talk to Danny. They agree that Kevin should be next. Let's go after Kevin next. That's what Nicole would like to see happen next week. Kevin should go home. David tells Enzo that Ian, Nicole, Danny, and Cody are the core four, the four horsemen. Watch out for them. David is also going to try and convince Christmas that Nicole is trying to backstab her, but he does so in such a cryptic way that she doesn't actually understand the message. And Nicole is actually the person she goes and talks to about it, which is a funny little thing. Day says to the cameras that she only trusts Nicole, Kevin, and Enzo moving forward. So Nicole still has Devon trusting her, at least. She doesn't have influence over her, but she at least has the trust there. Nicole tells Christmas, hey, you should mend things with Day. Christmas makes an attempt. Afterwards, Nicole tells Day that she's the one that said Christmas should try to make up with her, but don't worry, she doesn't trust Christmas. Nicole says that she, Danny, and Day should be the final three, and that she thinks Tyler and Christmas have a final two. And I wonder where Day says, I agree. They definitely have a final two. And if you're wondering where they got that information, Tyler and Christmas have a final two might be where they got that information. Enzo talks to Bay and Day about targeting Nicole and Danny, and they're fine with it. Bailey, especially. Bailey's like, please target Nicole when we leave. Please target Danny. Danny is going to tell Nicole that she wants her final six to be herself, Nicole, Cody, Memphis, Enzo, and Devon. Nicole does not like that final six. She doesn't like that final six. She wants Christmas in it, I think. And just in general, she doesn't want Danny to get her way. And she certainly wants Ian in it, right? So again, why is Danny trying to get Ian out of the game? I need Ian in this game. So Danny lets them know that we can't bring Enzo to the final four. He's too good with the jury. He will win a jury vote. And Nicole mentions that she does not want to win this upcoming HOH. She doesn't think she needs it. Now, that's going to be a bit of trouble here. This is when Cody's grandfather unfortunately passes away. Nicole is upset that she can't be closer to him to comfort him because they're trying to stay away from each other so that people don't put them together. They do, though, eventually late in the week, compare notes on Danny, trying to get into their ear about the final six. They agree that they want Kevin gone next week. She's concerned about Enzo. But Cody says, again, don't worry about Enzo. This is really like Cody's just constantly keeping Nicole and Enzo together as much as possible, despite the fact that they're both not trusting each other constantly. And Cody's, of course, lying. Enzo was literally just talking about wanting Nicole gone, but he says, don't worry, Enzo loves you. He also tells her that Danny told him about the women's lines before Nicole did, and she goes, what? I hate that. Why does she tell you everything? He's like, yeah, she told me before you did. What she's trying to do is she's trying to tell me things before you can so that it seems like she's undermining you. And she's like, that's so annoying. Oh my God. She's like, it's so stupid. Like she tries to make everyone her best friend, but you can't have everyone be your best friend. That's how you get caught. In season 18, I intentionally made sure that I was not everyone's best friend. I was like, did you do that super intentionally, Nicole? But it's, you know, it's a theory. Cody also lets her know that Danny made a final two with him, and she goes, what? Ultimate betrayal. Now I'm going to have to work with Christmas again. So here's the thing. It's this conversation at the end of week five that finally fully severs Nicole's connection to Danny. From this point forward, Nicole gives Danny nothing, and she is not on Danny's side at all. She only ever humors Danny in conversations. She agrees with Danny, whatever Danny says, but she never gives Danny a single thing after this moment. And it's only going to get worse from here as we head into Danny's HOH. But it's at this moment that Cody really, really locks in Nicole. Nicole now doesn't have Danny, can't trust Danny, has no influence over Danny. She can't really trust Devon, has no real influence over Devon. She's trying, but she doesn't really. She still has Ian, but she doesn't really trust Ian fully. And she still has some influence over Ian, but this is going to change pretty soon. And she's got Cody, but she doesn't have a lot of influence over Cody, but she can trust Cody to a degree. So she's still holding on, but she's still in a lot of danger coming into this next HOH. But don't worry, as Bailey is evicted unanimously, Danny is going to win the following HOH in week six. So Nicole throws this HOH to Danny. She could have won this HOH. Now, part of her final two speech is that she was throwing competitions and throughout most of the early portion of the game. I will say that I am about 90% certain that that is not true. That Nicole, throughout most of the game, is complaining that she doesn't have as much influence in the game as she wants. And because of everything that I've talked about, she doesn't have influence, and she recognizes that she needs to win competitions if she wants to have that influence. She wants to build something, she wants to structure things in her benefit, she needs to win competitions in order to do it. So she was trying to win things and wasn't able to. In fact, I would say if she was telling the truth, if she was trying to throw all of these competitions in the early portion of the game, I think that is her biggest mistake in the game, because she really could have used some competition wins. One, she was in a lot of danger in these early portion, in this early portion of the game. And if her allies hadn't won to bail her out, she would have been in a lot of trouble. So she should have been trying to win as much as possible just to keep herself safe. Two, if she had won something, she would have had more agency, more ability to build something good that would help keep her safe in future weeks so that she didn't have to rely on allies to win power to keep her safe. So if she was trying to throw things, massive error. My prediction, though, is that she didn't actually try to throw things, and that she is either lying in her final two speech, or she just is kind of exaggerating because she did throw this one HOH competition. And when she talks about examples of things she threw, notably, this is the only example she has. And so she did throw this HOH to Danny. And I will tell you, I think this was a mistake. Even though this turns out to not be a great HOH for Danny, Nicole really could have used it It would have been helpful for Nicole to not lose Ian this week in the way that she does. This is a very bad week for Nicole, and it could have been prevented if she had won HOH. So Dani tells Nicole she wants David and Kevin as initial nominees, but she's thinking about backdooring Tyler. Nicole pushes back on the backdoor Tyler idea, saying that we need to keep our numbers. If possible, we should get out Kevin or David. So Dani nominates David and Kevin. Cody is on board with this. They want to get David out of the house at this point. Cody is fine with getting David out, or at least he says he's fine with getting David out at this point. If Cody really wanted Kevin out, I imagine that he would have flipped things eventually, but it's not going to matter because after Dani nominates David and Kevin, David uses the disruptor power and replaces David with Tyler. Dani is immediately going to tell Cody and Nicole that she has not gone against what they said. She does want Tyler to stay, so don't worry about it. However, this is concerning to Nicole because now if Tyler wins or if Kevin wins, who goes up as the replacement then? Dani says that she is unwilling to put Ian on the block, which is great. But she's also unwilling to put Davon on the block. So who is she going to put up on the block? Is it going to be Christmas? Is it going to be like, who is it going to be? Nicole doesn't have a lot of say in this. Nicole at this part in the game is kind of reeling. Her head is not completely in the game because the theory is that she found out in the diary room that she was in some trouble, some hot water, because of an incident where Ian was being made fun of and she was laughing along. And so she is spending some time with Ian. Ian tells her that the Dani HOH is a great result for them. And she's like, yes, sure. I love you. You know that, right? I never be mean to you. I'm so nice to you all the time. You're my best friend. Just everyone knows that, right? Yep. So that's what she's up to. Davon is going to win the veto. And now Nicole is nervous because Davon has the veto. She is talking about maybe using it on Kevin. And if she does, again, who goes up on the block? Nicole tries everything in her power to convince Davon not to use the veto because she's concerned Kevin would go up on the block. She talks with Dani. Dani says she's not going to put up Ian, but she's still concerned. She's like, okay, well, then we need to prevent the veto from being used because Dani doesn't know who she would put up. Dani's going to make a bunch of mistakes by telling Memphis and Christmas and Enzo that like they could go up as pawns if the veto is used. And so Nicole tells Davon, hey, I'm keeping Kevin no matter what. If you don't use that veto, we're keeping Kevin anyway. We're sending Tyler home. Don't worry about it. However, secretly, she was saying that Kevin needs to go. Cody is then going to work on Dani for quite a while and eventually flips her toward the direction of putting Ian up on the block as the replacement if the veto is used. And Nicole is not happy about this. She tells the cameras she is not letting this happen. This is stupid. This is not right. Ian should not be going on the block. She's a winner. She knows this game. She's going to stop this from happening. She's going to do everything in her power. She goes to Dani. She says, dumb to do this. Dani says, I have to if the veto is going to be used. And Nicole says, no, we'll stop her from doing it then. And she tries her hardest to get Davon to not use the veto. It doesn't work. She goes, okay, fine. If Ian goes up, though, I am not voting him out. And Dani says, no, you have to vote him out because I don't want to be forced to break a tie. And she says, well, no, then I'll convince Christmas to flip on Tyler and we can get Tyler out. How about that? And she goes, all right, let's try. And so they try and they fail. She says, okay. Then look, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, Cody. I'm not going to vote Ian out. And he says, you need to. She says, I don't understand why Ian has to go. This is dumb. And he says, look, you have to understand. It's about numbers. We have to look at the big picture. If we keep Tyler, we remain insulated because the committee stays together and we make sure we still have the numbers. And Cody is 100% right. For him, For him, keeping the structure in place is what keeps him in power. And this is a very, very vital week for Cody to keep everything structured properly. And it helps take out Nicole's only other escape route from his final two. So he's explaining this to Nicole, and she's like, Tyler's going to come for me. She's Tyler's going to come for me at final seven. He's going to take a shot at me. I talked about this yesterday, but this is a fun conversation because she's right. Tyler takes a shot at her at final eight, close enough to final seven. Right. And then he basically also takes a shot at her at final seven. And Cody says, sure, he's going to try to take a shot at you at final seven, but he's not going to have the votes because of how we're setting this up. And by we're setting this up, he means I'm setting this up. And so he says, that's the setup that we can't blow right now. He essentially says, don't try to build your own thing. Don't try and go off and create a women's alliance and work with Ian and build your own structure. Trust in my structure. My structure will get us both to the end. And that's what you need to trust in. And Nicole tries to fight against it. She tries to create something of her own. She tries to forge her own path. She tries to keep Ian, but she can't. She can't fight against Cody's structure. And she ultimately has to fall back and rely on Cody. He says, you will have the votes to stay. Trust me. And what happens in the triple eviction at final eight and final seven? She has the votes to stay up on the block both times as Tyler tries to get her out. So, I mean, Cody was right, but it did still put her in the passenger seat here, and she was still in a lot more danger. She's the one sitting on the block having to sweat out, is Enzo going to flip on me? She's the one sitting on the block having to sweat out, if Danny wins this veto, I go home, hands down. So, again, this may sound counterintuitive, but she is Cody's shield in this game. She was used as the shield. We talk about Nicole as somebody that uses shields because that's kind of what she did in 18. But in this game, she was the shield. And it worked out, but she was the shield. So Devon goes ahead and uses the veto on Kevin, and Ian goes up as the replacement. Nicole cries about it to Ian, and she tells Cody that she's really upset at Danny. She can't believe that Danny did this to her. Now, we know that it was really Cody that did it to her, but she blames Danny more. She also says that she lets him know that they tried to and failed to flip Christmas. Cody and Enzo discuss that, you know what, Devon should probably go next. You know, Nicole's saying that Kevin should go next. Danny is saying that David should go next, but Devon should go next because she's too close to Nicole. She's too close to Danny. She's going to win these mental competitions. We want Devon to be the next person to go. So Cody wants something different than Nicole. And that's again, going to be what happens. At this point, Nicole has spent all week long trying and failing to keep Ian, and it has severely damaged her relationships in the rest of the power structure. If she had any leverage anywhere left in this game, it is destroyed by this week. Memphis thinks that she's out of her mind trying to save Ian. Danny is frustrated with her. She's going to lie to Devon, and that's going to blow up later. She loses Ian from the game. Enzo still wants her out. Tyler wants her out, and her last hope, her last little piece of land left, the thing that was so good for her just last week, Christmas, she loses Christmas. She loses Christmas this week. She fully loses Christmas. You know, Enzo had already kind of had a bit of pull on Christmas, but it's really Memphis that takes over the reins on Christmas. And Enzo has no patience for Nicole. It's going to be Memphis and Enzo now that Christmas is loyal to, as they start to pull in Enzo, and that she still has Tyler. Christmas says to the cameras that she does not trust Nicole anymore. She sees how hard Nicole is trying to keep Ian, and it's just so sketchy. And Nicole is now on her radar. She sees what Nicole is trying to do. And Nicole is now left completely toothless. She has nothing left in the game except for Cody, which is exactly where Cody wants her. Danny does try to get Memphis to flip on Tyler. He doesn't bite, but he tells her that Tyler can go first in the committee. Danny tells Nicole about this. She says that Memphis wants Tyler gone first, but she tells Cody that Memphis said he wants both Nicole and Tyler to go first from the committee. That's going to be a little bit relevant later on. Nicole tells Cody and Enzo, she says, all right, look, I've come up with a new plan this week. I don't want to vote to evict Ian, but if I have to, let's set it up in a way where I can blame David for the vote. I'm going to say that David flipped and he got that he's the one that voted. And then I can convince, Ian can think I voted for him. In the moment and Devon and everyone, like, it'll hide the alliance. It's just better overall. It's an interesting plan and it does end up working, but we talked about it at the time. Was it more than was necessary? Maybe. Here's the thing. It's great. It was great for Cody and his structure because it really helped keep the committee locked and loaded. They ultimately won all the competition, so it didn't matter anyway. But this is something that really helped out her allies more than it helped out herself, even though it was an impressive piece of manipulation. So she spends a lot of time now trying to make this happen. She waffles on the plan a bit and tries to get Ian to just, hey, Ian, can I just vote you out, please? If it's not going to happen, can I not give you a sympathy vote, please? And he says, no, I need you to vote me no matter what. She says, oh my God. So she follows through with the plan. She sets it up. She tells Devon and Kevin that she wants to vote that way. David says he's in. They set it up. They say, hey, do we really trust David? And they then go to vote and Ian is evicted in a 5-3 vote. And Nicole goes, what? No, I voted that way. And Devon gets really mad at David. We head into week 7. Memphis wins the HOH, which again is probably a good outcome for Nicole, because if Devon or Kevin or David had won, she would have been in a lot of trouble because she would have been ratted out and she likely would have been a big target, at least on the block next to Danny. Devon and Kevin, though, because they are not in power, believe Nicole, and nobody is going to say otherwise except for David, who they do not believe. Nicole, however, is very nervous that she's going to get caught. She feels like not only could she be ratted out from somebody like Danny, but that if she falters, if she gets caught, then now she has people coming after her. So when Cody tells her that he wants Devon to go instead of Kevin, she goes, all right, fine. Devon can go because she might catch me in the lie and then she'll be mad at me anyway. So I'll let it happen. Again, at this point, she is just fully, she's given up any agency in the game to just essentially give Cody some assists here. And she's just willing to let him call the shots and just help him out along the way. Which I don't necessarily mean as a deep criticism. It's what gets her through this next portion of the game. She relies heavily on Cody and his influence over the rest of the game to get further, which is effective because it got her here. And if she wins the game, that's going to be one of the winning moves that she made. Let's be clear. It's not the most impressive thing. She was still in a lot of danger and she relied so much on other people, but it will be what got her there. And many winners share similar qualities. So Danny is going to tell Nicole that Christmas needs to go first within the committee. And Nicole says, no, it should be Tyler. Still doesn't want Christmas to go. She still thinks she has Christmas. But I mean, she's also right to not trust Tyler. Memphis is going to nominate Kevin and Devon. And he tells Nicole he wants her to throw the veto so he can backdoor David. Nicole is going to just go ahead and lose the veto. Tyler ends up winning the veto and Memphis talks with Cody, Christmas and Tyler. They convince him to take out Devon this week because Devon is too close to Danny and Nicole. So It's at this point in the game. Again, Nicole has just fully cast her lot in with Cody. She has no one else and nowhere else to go. She's lost Ian. She's lost Christmas. She's lost Danny. She only has Cody, and she's helping Cody every step of the way against her own interests at times. And this is what gives Cody the go-ahead. He now feels like, okay, I can fully trust Nicole now. And this is when Cody starts telling Nicole things. So Cody has been telling Nicole things here and there, sprinkled here and there throughout the season. He told Nicole about the Danny stuff because he was worried that she would find out about it. He told Nicole things here and there that he felt like she needed to know here and there. But he never told Nicole things she didn't need to know until this moment. He tells her about the wise guys. And it's this moment that, again, he recognizes that she has nowhere else to go. And so he starts telling her all of these things. He lets her know about the wise guys that Memphis, Enzo, and him just made a three-person Final Three alliance called the Wise Guys. He does not yet know that there's another version of it with Christmas. He also tells her that he's just spilling everything. He says, Danny came to me and said that Memphis wants you gone first within the committee, as well as Tyler. Nicole is mad about this because Danny only told her the Tyler part of it. So she wants to try and use this to flip Memphis against Danny. Again, she's willing to just get rid of Danny entirely at this point. She wants Danny gone because that's what Cody wants. And she feels betrayed by Danny, and she feels like Danny's going to come for her. She's going to rat her out. She just wants Danny gone. Basically, she's fully indoctrinated into the Cody structure. So she is going to continue to pretend that everything's fine with Danny, but she really is not fine with Danny. She goes and she tells Memphis that she heard that Memphis wants her out from the committee first. She thinks that Memphis will connect this immediately to Danny, but the problem is he never actually said it to Danny. So he does not connect it to Danny. He thinks that Devon must have somehow interpreted something he said and then spread that to Nicole, which further links Nicole to Devon in his mind, which only further backfires and sends Nicole further down his list on the priority scale. So it was just a little weird thing there that was interesting and didn't work out too well for Nicole. Devon asks Nicole one more time, did you really vote Tyler out, Nicole? Because I really don't want to be bashing David if it's not true. And Nicole says, I mean, yeah, it's true. I voted the way that we said, you know? And Devon says, you sound super truthful to me. Yep, David sucks. Hate him. After this, Nicole says to Danny, like, I need to tell Devon. She's really grilling me, and it's really hard to lie to her. And Danny says, no, you cannot tell her. Then we get
Devon, Nicole is lying to you. She voted out Ian.
We didn't hear it because the feed's cut and we lost all of this. So we don't really know what went down. But what we do know went down is that Nicole got ratted out and she took all the heat for it from Devon. Danny got to pretend that she was not a part of it. And that only further made Nicole pissed off at Danny. So it's around this time that Enzo is getting very frustrated with Christmas because Danny and Christmas are gunning for each other. And Cody is going to start doing some massive work on Enzo to get him to trust Nicole. Again, this is the week that Cody locks Nicole in. Prior to this week, I want to make this clear because people really, really do not, I think, get this. Week 7 is when Cody and Nicole actually started working together as an actual final two. Prior to this moment, Cody was helping Nicole along here and there. He was telling Nicole things here and there, but he had lots of options. It's not until week 7 that he chooses Nicole 100% and he tells her most of his information and he starts working much harder to convince Enzo to keep her around, and he starts working much harder to make sure that Nicole doesn't get voted out. Prior to this week, Cody was intentionally putting Nicole in situations where she might go home because she was just a shield. Now she's a shield and somebody that he wants to take to the final to the final three. And this is when he really starts working for her. Now, she was working for him weeks ago prior to this moment, but it's not until he is able to take Ian out that he and she is completely isolated from everyone else that he fully locks in with her. Week 7. Very clear about this. It's very, very clear. And he works very hard on Enzo now to make sure that Enzo will not target Nicole. Prior to this moment, he was targeting Nicole and Cody didn't mind all that much. But now he wants to keep Nicole safe. And so he convinces Enzo that Nicole is the most reliable ally they have left. And she is at this point because she has nobody else. And Enzo agrees. And he does all of this work to help Nicole out. It's very effective and it's very useful for Nicole. It's really going to come in clutch pretty soon. As Tyler tries to convince Enzo that they should target both Danny and Nicole, Enzo does not want to go after Nicole, even though he does want to go after Danny. So in her eviction speech, Devon says she is not going to vote for people that were not honest with her, which definitely makes Nicole go, ooh. Devon is then evicted 5-2, Nicole and Danny both casting rogue sympathy votes for her to stay. Week 8. Cody wins the HOH, which again is pretty crucial for Nicole because otherwise she was likely going to see the block next to either Danny or David, as she will eventually after this week. Nicole and Enzo are hoping that Cody does not target Christmas because they feel like they've got Christmas to a degree. Cody reminds Enzo that Nicole is the only person they can rely on to not throw them under the bus. He continues to do that work with Enzo. It's at this point that Nicole's game really slows down because, again, she's just working as an assistant coach, essentially, here for Cody. Cody lets Nicole know the plan for the week, which is Kevin and David on the block with Christmas as a potential backdoor. Nicole's like, wait, what? Christmas? Really? And he says, guess what I just found out? There's a second wise guys with Christmas in it. And she's like, okay, fine, but I still don't want Christmas to go. And he says that, sorry, it's got to be Christmas if one of them wins the veto. That's just the way it is. And she says, okay. And she says, can you believe that after that vote, Danny had the gall to come to me after that vote for Devon and say, yeah, I didn't do it. You did it. Who did it with you, Nicole? I hate her. She's the worst. And then after this conversation, she goes downstairs and Danny says, why are you up there talking to Cody so long? What are you doing talking to Cody so long? What are you doing? She's like, I wasn't up there that long. So you're up there over 2 hours. What are you doing? What are you? Get off my back, Danny. So Cody nominates Kevin and David. He then wins the veto. Kevin is going to vent to Enzo and Danny in particular about Cody. Nicole is going to find out about this. And it's, of course, going to make Nicole feel a little bit better about going to the end with Cody. Tyler tells Christmas that they need to take out Danny and Nicole to cut Cody off. Again, Nicole being a target to weaken Cody. Cody not the target. Danny tells Nicole that they need David out. And she says, Cody will let me have this because I begged him last week. And he said that if I let him have Devon, that he would let me have David. So we're going to vote out David. And Nicole's like, sure. Yeah. Cody is then going to work on Christmas. And he tells Enzo that he thinks he's got Christmas, willing to put Nicole up as her secondary target, instead of Cody. And he's right. Between Cody and Tyler working on Christmas, Christmas now wants both Danny and Nicole gone before Cody. Tyler tries again to get Enzo to not go to go after both Danny and Nicole, and Enzo again is going to shoot him down, saying that he would put Danny up with David as a pawn, not Nicole. This really should have been the warning sign to Tyler, but it was not. Kevin is going to pitch to Nicole that, hey, if you keep me, I'll protect you, Cody, and Enzo. And she goes, that's great. She goes upstairs. She says, Cody, Kevin's going to protect the three of us. Why don't we keep Kevin? Cody says, no. The fact that he's even convinced you tells me he's too good at this game to keep around. Why would we ever keep him over David? It's not going to happen. Okay, fine. Whatever you want, Cody. Enzo says he wants David out next because he's a weirdo sometimes. And he warns Cody and Tyler that Tyler wants both Danny and Nicole out. And Enzo does not want that. He wants Nicole to stick around. He wants Nicole to go after Tyler for them if possible. Enzo says that Memphis talks more game with him than Tyler. So he trusts Memphis more than Tyler now, especially because Tyler's trying to get him to go after Nicole and he doesn't want that. Kevin tells the cameras before he's evicted that he would vote for Nicole over Cody in the final two, as long as she does something, as long as she makes a move in the game, wins some competitions. Kevin is then evicted unanimously. And we head into week 9, the triple eviction. This is not a great eviction for Nicole. She's in a lot of danger, as usual. But this time, she's running out of allies that will keep her safe. Again, she basically only has Cody and a little bit Enzo as an extension of Cody. And she's still got Danny, but she just wants Danny gone. She doesn't actually trust Danny. Cody's completely socially severed that relationship. Memphis wins the first HOH. He puts up Nicole and David. Nicole is the pawn to send David home. Christmas wins the veto. And she's in a lot of danger. If Christmas uses this veto, Nicole goes home. Boom. It's done. Probably. But she doesn't use the veto because Memphis wants David out. And because she thinks that she can get rid of Nicole without using the veto. She should have used the veto. Tyler and Christmas try to flip this vote against Nicole. They talk to Enzo. They try to get Enzo to do it. Enzo chooses not to do it. And I wish I could credit Nicole for this, but this was really the work of Cody. And she survives. David is evicted 3-2. Heading into the second part of the triple eviction, which I'm going to call week 10. I don't care. Tyler wins the HOH, which is not a great result for her. Again, she goes up on the block next to Danny this time. And this time she's again in some danger because if Danny wins this veto, Nicole will be going home. But Danny does not win the veto. Tyler wins the veto. And so Danny is voted out unanimously and heads to the jury, where she's going to be mad that Cody picked Nicole over her, which makes her mad at Nicole and not Cody. So we head into week 11. What I'm calling week 11, because I don't care. You're not going to stop me. Cody wins the HOH, and this is, again, good result for Nicole, because she would likely have ended up on the block next to Cody this time. If Christmas had won, she would have been in a lot of trouble if Tyler had stayed and won. Again, good result for Nicole. She was still in some danger at this point. Nicole tells Cody that Christmas is dead to her. She cannot believe that Christmas tried to flip this vote on her. She feels like she screwed up because she took Christmas's side over Danny's, and it turns out that Christmas was the one that was playing her all along. She got played by Christmas. Cody says, well, Danny wasn't innocent either, so don't take it too hard. So Christmas then is going to go and try to clear the air with Nicole, and it's a pretty successful air clear. Nicole feels a little more comfortable with Christmas. She's like, sorry, I tried to flip that vote on you, but I'm down to work with you now. Cody nominates Tyler and Christmas. Nicole would prefer to evict Tyler because she feels better about Christmas. But at this point, Cody and Enzo want Tyler to stay. However, there are some things that happen. Memphis tells Enzo that if they get out Tyler, then next week it's time to get out Nicole. Memphis will be targeting Nicole. And the way that they do it is by putting Nicole up on the block next to Cody. And then they'll get to the final four and with the wise guys, and it won't even matter. It won't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Then Tyler tells Enzo about the committee and tries to use that information to flip him against Cody, which after Cody wins the veto is going to turn things around on Tyler. The only reason Cody and Enzo wanted to keep Tyler is because they felt like Memphis would go after Tyler and Tyler would go after Memphis. But if Tyler is willing to expose the committee to Enzo to try to get him against Cody, then what might he say to Memphis to convince Memphis not to come after him? And if Memphis isn't going to come after him, then they might as well just get rid of Tyler because he's more of a threat. And so they tell Nicole, hey, we're going to get rid of Tyler instead. And she's like, oh, great. Sounds good. They also talk about how they want to take Nicole to the final three. Enzo feels like that's great because they can beat Nicole. And Cody thinks that's great because Nicole will take me. Memphis tells Enzo again that that Nicole needs to go. And then Enzo rats Memphis out to Cody, which makes Cody upset with Memphis. Nicole is going to consider flipping the vote to keep Tyler around because she knows that if Tyler goes, because Christmas has a final three with Memphis, she's going to be in a lot of danger at the final five. And that's bad for her. So she sees that like long term, it's probably better to keep Christmas, but short term, it might actually be better for her if Tyler stays. So she proposes the idea, but it gets shot down by Cody. Nicole then tells Cody that she really is upset and frustrated because she feels like she's letting him down. She knows that he won this competition to protect her, and she wants to win competitions to protect him to return the favor. Tyler is then evicted unanimously, and we head to week 12. We're getting there. Nicole wins the week 12 because it's week 12. HOH. This was a nail biter. Christmas and then Memphis both had to screw up in order for Nicole to take this one, but they do, and she wins this clutch HOH, and this is going to be great for her endgame chances because not only does it keep her safe this week, but it gives her a little bit of credibility here. Late game competitions are weighed much more heavily than other competitions, and so if she wins this game, I would imagine that this competition win was a big part of it. Cody tells Enzo that Memphis has to go. And then Nicole tells Cody that Memphis has to go. She says, are you willing to do that for me, Cody? And Cody says, yes, I'm willing to do that for you, Nicole. Nicole then gets paranoid about her HOH letter, and she tells the cameras that she feels bad about putting people on the block. She's good at surviving, but she's not good at this stuff. She has to find reasons to go against these people, and luckily they both went against her. Memphis put her on the block, and Christmas tried to vote her out. Christmas tells Nicole, you cannot beat Cody in the end. You can't beat Enzo in the end either. You need me. We are each other's best hope of winning this game. I will take you to the final two. Nicole says, okay. She goes to Cody and she says, apparently I can't beat you, but I don't care. I'm going to the final two with you, even if it means losing to you. I promise. The Wall Yeller tried to ruin us, but look at where we are now. Look at where we are now. It only brought us closer. So Nicole nominates Christmas and Memphis. And it's at this point that she decides, you know what? I would rather be in the final three with Cody and Christmas than Cody and Enzo, because at least Christmas will take me to the final two. So I'm going to be guaranteed a shot at the final two at that point. She's only willing to do it, though, if Christmas is safe at the final four again. So she recognizes that there's a better path. If she gets to the end with Christmas and Cody, she feels like she'd be guaranteed in the final two. And she also knows that she has a better chance of beating Christmas in the final two. However, she is not willing to do, she's not willing to go against Cody at the final four to evict Christmas over Enzo unless she has no choice, unless the choice is Cody or Enzo. She's not willing to actively make the decision against what Cody wants at the final four. Again, flaw. Nicole is then going to win the veto as well this week. Enzo decides it's in his best interest to keep Memphis and is going to work all week long to try to make it happen, but it will not happen. Memphis tells Nicole she's great. And he tells Enzo that Nicole could win this game. It's All-Stars and she's a former winner. Christmas counters when she talks to Memphis. She says Cody protected her the whole game. She didn't do anything. Nicole had a chance to make a move this week and she didn't, says Memphis. You have a point. Enzo starts working on Christmas, telling her how important it is that they break up Cody and Nicole, and Christmas is starting to listen. Memphis is then evicted unanimously, and we head to week 13, where Enzo wins the HOH. Nicole is very mad at Enzo because he didn't help Cody in the HOH, but what are you going to do about it? Enzo wants Nicole out this week if he can, and he tries to convince Cody, but Cody will not budge an inch. And luckily for Nicole, she is actually guaranteed safe with this Enzo win. If Cody or Christmas had won this HOH, she would have been in some danger. But they didn't. And so she's actually guaranteed final three at this point, as long as nobody flips. And nobody flips. Enzo nominates Christmas and Nicole because he wants him and Cody to never have been nominated. Cody's going to win the veto, and Nicole is upset that she couldn't win herself and take herself to the final three, but she hopes that Cody will stick to the deal and take her. Christmas and Enzo talk about how Cody is for sure winning the jury vote. They say that the winning move is to cut Cody, and they cannot believe that Nicole seems like she's actually willing to take Cody. That's crazy. Nicole tells Cody again that no matter what, she will be taking him to the final two. Cody is then going to evict Christmas, despite Nicole being very nervous about her potentially being cut by him. Then we head into week 14. This week, Nicole wins part one of the final three HOH. Enzo says to the cameras that if Nicole brings Cody to the end, he will be voting for Cody because he deserves it. He's one of the best to ever play. Cody then wins part two of the final three HOH, and Nicole says to the cameras multiple times in multiple ways that she will be sitting next to Cody in the final two. She is not scared of sitting next to him because she thinks she can beat him. And that's where we are today. And that's Nicole's game. What do you think? What do you think? It's interesting. Nicole has done a lot in this game. Again, I've tried to talk about this. So let's summarize here. Nicole comes into the game with the most amount of pregame relationships. But in the first week, she uses them decently well to make connections. She just doesn't build very much. So she kicks off her game by locking in her relationship with Danny. She makes a final two with Cody. She makes a final two with Ian. And she starts getting to work on Christmas and Devon. Problem is she can't get all those pieces together because she's not creating any alliances. So from there, with the help of Cody and Danny, she gets pulled into the core four and pulled into the committee, neither of which are structured to her benefit. She then spends much of the first portion of the game just trying to fend off Janelle and the rest of the outsiders who are trying to target her, while trying to pull in as many allies as she can. It's a fight for survival. It's a struggle for survival while she can't win HOHs and she is unable to get these people to target anyone but her. She just works on pulling in allies to help go after them for her. By week two, she's made significant progress with both Day and Christmas, and it's starting to look like she might get off the radar when the couple guys, couple tries moment eventually happens, and she's back to being a priority target, which is kind of the story of her game. Just as she starts to make some progress, it slides back, and she has to continue to fight to survive. Again, however, she does manage to scramble and convince Christmas to target Bailey for her, which outmaneuvers Tyler with his own ally that he had a big advantage over when it comes to, sway, right? So massive kudos. She beats Tyler in a head-to-head there. With the Bailey problem gone, she now has to contend with her association with Danny, who's become persona non grata in the house. At this point, many of the outsiders are at least not like directly targeting her because they're targeting Danny first, but they would put her up next to Danny, which means she would be gone if Danny won the veto. To make things worse, she throws the HOH to Danny, which ends up causing her all kinds of headaches because Danny ends up targeting Ian due to Cody's influence, which is a massive blow to her strength and position in the game, which was already tenuous to begin with. After this, she tries and fails to counter Cody's influence, getting Ian targeted, and it damages her game with both the committee and the outsiders in the process. So by this point, Cody has completely pulled her away from Danny. She's lost Ian. Day is on her way out the door. Christmas has been flipped against her, and she is entirely left at Cody's will. And so she decides, fine, I'm just going to stick to Cody then. I'm just going to help enact his will in the game and hope that he brings me there, which saves her. Her loyalty to Cody is what saves her as he puts in some massive work for her just in time for the triple eviction. So when Enzo puts her up as a pawn and Tyler tries to make the move, Enzo stays locked in and she stays in the game. She then sits up next to Danny and survives the Danny eviction as well. At this point, she's still in a lot of danger as Cody and Enzo are just so much more insulated than she is. But it doesn't matter because between Cody winning and her winning and then Cody winning and then, eventually her winning, maybe, they managed to run through Tyler, Memphis, and Christmas and get down to the final three. Position-wise, Nicole is consistently the person in the most amount of danger within the committee power structure, just behind Danny. So Danny was in the most amount of danger. Nicole was in the second most amount of danger. And honestly, it was really close because Nicole was in the most amount of danger for much of the first portion of the game. And then Danny was in the most amount of danger for much of the second portion of the game. So I'd call it a close call between like last place within the committee structure for position and how in danger she was. Strategically, she exercised a good amount of control over the season. Cody consistently had more control than her, but she had a little bit of control over Cody, which helped her have a little bit of control over the season. And she also was pretty good at getting her way in the early portion of the season, or at least, you know, aligning her way with Cody's enough to make some things happen. I would say in terms of influence overall, she actually was up there. I'd say Cody had the most. Memphis probably had the second most, which is interesting. And then Nicole probably was up there in terms of third most amount of influence over the course of the season. It's really just that Cody hogged like 90% of it. And then she had like a good, you know, 4% of it. And Memphis had like 6. Right. But she did have, you know, more influence than Enzo did. We'll talk about that. She only won 2 competitions, but they were late game competitions, which are weighed much more heavily than regular early game competitions. And the amount of control she had at the start of the season could pay off in a big way, because the jury is kind of stacked for her, or at least it should be. She has the most amount of pregame relationships there with Day, Ian, and Danny, who all should theoretically be votes for her, since Danny is a close friend. She played with Day, and Day trusted her so much, and she's friends with Ian. However, over the course of the season, she burned Day pretty bad over something that turned out to be not super necessary. She ends up losing Danny to Cody, and Ian doesn't seem to have a lot of respect for her game. What she does have going for her is that she's a former winner, and that sounds nice. So, I mean, look, she's got a chance. Nicole's a flawed player. But her experience in the game and her survival instincts make her very slippery, very difficult to fully take down at the end of the day. She relies on luck a lot more than Cody and Enzo do, and spends most of her time either taking orders or putting out fires of her own creation. But she's good at putting out those fires. She's just undeniably good at what she does. She's a player who knows who she is and uses every ounce of potential that she's capable of, apart from this potential loyal problem. This was, in my opinion, her most impressive game yet, and it was against tougher competition. And the problem is that because it was against tougher competition, she doesn't quite stack up as well against those people. If she takes Cody and loses this game, then one of her biggest assets in the game, that loyalty, that willingness to be a team player, will ultimately be her fatal flaw. She's never shown a willingness to make a move against her chosen partner in any of the games that she played. This could have cost her in Big Brother 18, but she got lucky with those endgame comps. She did not get lucky this time. She has an opportunity here, probably, to clinch this win and cement her legacy. So the question, in my opinion, is, will she take it? I think the only way for her to win this game is to cut Cody and take Enzo. And I think she then becomes the first 2-time winner. And I think she looks a lot more impressive as a player if she does so, because all of that work she put in to make Cody feel like she was just completely loyal to him, and that's why he took her to the end, when she ran out of other options and her entire game was cut away by Cody, she said, okay, fine, it's what Steve did. Fine, I will just do everything you say, and then I'll turn around and stab you in the back and steal the win from you. That's a lot more impressive. And I think we can go back and say that a lot of that portion of the game that sounds like criticism right now, as I said, might actually turn out to be good things. That said, again, the update portion of this podcast showed that it doesn't seem like it's even crossed her mind to cut Cody. She is like actually practicing speeches against Cody. She's not even considered like a speech against Enzo. She's practicing for hours and hours and hours speeches against Cody, and it seems like that is just not going to be the case. Now, that does not mean that she can't beat Cody. You never know with the jury, but if she does beat Cody, I think, you know, we're gonna look at this game. I think you can listen to the Cody podcast. You can listen to this one. It's very clear to me that Cody played a significantly better game to get here. He was consistently safer, had more control, honestly had better jury management in terms of what he was capable of doing. I would guess that if she beats Cody in a jury vote, it's just because she's a former winner and that status helps her. And as well as having those, pre-game relationships on the jury, that might help. But you never know. There might be some reasons that we don't think of, and maybe there are some additional points to her game that we didn't consider in this podcast. But, like I said, I think at the end of the day, she's probably going to be losing, and that's probably going to be because she is willing to take Cody to the final two. And really, it's not just that. It's that her whole game was subservient to Cody's. It's that her whole game was consistently not at the same level that Cody's was. It's a problem that she is never able to build anything. She is only ever able to prevent her own destruction. And of the three people here in the game, I think she potentially played the worst of the three of them. We'll see when we talk about Enzo. Enzo had a lot less control over the game, but he was so consistently safer than she was that you have to feel like that longevity is going to really be in play there for him. But we'll see how it goes. But that's Nicole's game. That's where we're at. It's an interesting one, and she's an interesting player. I think that it's really there's a lot to dig into here about how she plays the way she does and why she plays the way she does. She's not somebody that like is super, super calculated. She really just goes on instinct, and her instinct is very suited to the game of Big Brother. She knows where she needs to be, even though she's not always capable of making the moves that she needs to make. But those instincts prevent her from trying to move into places that she's incapable of going. And that's big, because that's a huge flaw that most players have. Most players overestimate themselves, and they think that they can, they think they're capable of running a game because they think it's so easy. Like, everyone thinks they can be Cody, but it's hard to be Cody. And if you're not Cody, you know, you shouldn't try to be Cody, because then you'll be Polly. So that's where we're at with Nicole. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Later tonight, I will be back with another probably long podcast, the Stockwatch Roundtable. We're going to be rating these three players based on this week in the game and their chances to win and everything like that. It'll be the final in-game Stockwatch rating. So tune into that. 9 p.m. Eastern tonight should be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow morning, I will go over Enzo's game. Spoilers for that one. It should be shorter. Maybe by a significant amount. Who knows? We'll have some fun with that. And of course, tomorrow night, we'll have some finale coverage for you. And we will also hopefully have some interviews that we will get out as soon as we can. So there we go. That's what I have. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. I'll be sending out a survey for the Stockwatch Roundtable tonight. Make sure you get the survey results. Make sure you fill out the survey, because we're going to be doing jury predictions and we're going to be doing all kinds of fun extra stuff there since it's the last one. So make sure you find it and fill it out. I'll tweet it out sometime after this podcast. You might have to wait a little bit because it's going to be longer to create, but make sure you go there at Armstrong Taren. I'll pin it to the top of my Twitter once it's ready. And you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, especially as we start to wrap up this season. I will be going on Twitch much more in the off season. So if you want to continue to hang out with me, you can do so there. And I would very much appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I'll see you next time.